Amen. Before we get started, hey, Cynthia, as we're doing that, can you check on those, if we need to move those things in and out? Or you may be already doing that. Hey, if you've got your Bibles this morning, I would invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. If you need a Bible, we have some in the back. And I would, where Dave Carr is standing, I would encourage you to get one. And you may take that if you need it. And I also encourage you to mark in your Bible. It's helpful for me at least, so it may be helpful for you. I'm going to start in Matthew. I'm going to read today. I want to start chapter 6. I want to just go to verse 9 and start there. Matthew 6, verse 9. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. Do not bring us from the time of trial, rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And this is word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever had a friend who wanted to help you, wanted you to help them with something, and then when you started helping them, they didn't really want your help? Anybody? It's weird, right? It's like you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you need to eat healthy or you're not, or you're going to die. You say, thank you, doctor. And then you move on to Five Guys. That's right. Not changing anything at all. And I mentioned that idea this morning in light of where we ended up last week with the Lord's Prayer. Because I'm trying, and at least in my mind, I'm setting this idea up for us that with Jesus and me together, things can be different than maybe what we're accustomed to. But it's got to be Jesus and me. Jesus and me together. I'm certainly not trying to lessen Jesus to directions or instructions. I think that would be probably blasphemous. But what I'm suggesting is that when we pray, Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven, we are suggesting that with Jesus in my life is different. Yes? At least in theory, we are suggesting that. We talked about the idea of an old blanket last week that could help us cope with fear. You remember that as a child, and maybe even if you're like me now and you have children, or maybe just for fun, you like to build forts in your house, and that's okay. You can acknowledge that today. We know that those blankets help us cope with fear. They keep everything else out. We know that they encourage us. We know that when we build things under them and we get in there, we dream the greatest dreams, don't we? And I go back and remind myself of those ideas, those same ideas of having Jesus with me. Because today we come face to face with faithfulness, with ideas of faithfulness that are bigger than me and bigger than my understanding. And I have to ask myself if I'm actually willing to do what Jesus asked me to do. And this is so typical Jesus, right? Because we open the Lord's Prayer and we get slammed. We get slammed with ideas of provision and forgiveness. Now, raise your hand if those things come real easy to you. Exactly. Provision and forgiveness. And before we can even really process anything about forgiveness, We are bombarded and we are reminded once again of horrific attacks of 9/11. We find ourselves torn between two worlds. And if we're going to address faithfulness, if Jesus is going to teach us how to pray, Jesus needs to address immediately two things that get in the way of our faith in our prayer life. Our desire for complete independence. Who's with me? I got it. I got mine. I can do all right. And our desire to hold grudges. Right? You know, and it becomes very difficult for us in the nature and the climate of our world today, with bombings of U.S. embassies deliberately on September the 11th, the death of a U.S. ambassador, embassy personnel. We are still in the midst of many conflicts around the world. And I'm not here to make a political statement. I think that oftentimes pastors enjoy the idea of taking the pulpit and making it a political platform, and I will refuse to do that here. And so I'm not making a political statement this morning. I don't want you to get my message confused with your own party's politics and your candidates. But if we're being honest this morning, these issues are bigger than elephants and donkeys, yes? And give us this day our daily bread is really tough for us, because we live in a place that says, I'm going to get mine and you can get yours, right? But I got to get mine. And I struggle with this on a very tangible level, because I know that there are people who pray this prayer and still don't get real bread. They're faithful people who are hungry. I'm wrestling with that. That's a very difficult place for me to be. See, because ultimately I believe that God has provided all things. I believe that God has given us everything that we need. I just wonder if sometimes we have to figure out how to share everything better. Give us this daily bread really confronts our own needs of what we want and what we need, right? Because I want a new iPhone 5. Who's with me? But the question is, do I need it? What do I really need? Maybe you're like me in that sense. You don't really need too much of anything when you think about it. Or maybe you're really hungry right now. You actually do really need something to eat. Or maybe you've never even thought about it at all. It is about us seriously looking at our own wealth, the idea of sacrificial giving in order to walk with Jesus, who did not accumulate any wealth. If you look in the book of Acts, Peter and John encounter a man at the gate of the city, and they said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. What did they offer? Anybody? Jesus? Peter and John didn't have any money because they lived the reality of give us this day our daily bread. They made it a reality, what it means to live with Jesus. The way that Jesus lived, which was to give to those in need everything that they had. And in case you question what Jesus really meant there, just listen to Jesus talk about the poor widow who gave her last two pennies to the community of faith. You know that story, right? All she has is two coins, and that's exactly what she gives. And in those two coins, she offers a tool and a testimony, right? Because that tool would help the church grow, and that was a testimony of faith that what God has given, I will give. Jesus needs us to hear that we are expected truly to have a sacrificial life. If you need another example, look at the early church where Barnabas sells his property and gives all of the money to the disciples. Go read Acts, the fourth chapter. And here's from Acts 4:32. Because now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart, one soul. No one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. Give us this day our daily bread. I think it calls us to be reminded that we depend on God, the gracious and abundant giver of life. It means that even though I want to spend my money a certain way, we start thinking it's not our money anyway, but God's provision for us to share. Maybe it's also about the idea that God's provision is God's grace in our life. Because maybe this is something that's bigger than balanced budgets, home equity loans, and health care. I wonder if give us this day our daily bread is not just about food or shelter or anything like that. See, because ultimately those things don't matter as much as God's grace and God's real love that is given to us daily. And if you're like me, you hear that and you are wrestling on the inside of how to deal with that. I say that this morning to let you know that I'm wrestling with what that means. I think Martin Luther King said it something like this, that when you see someone who's hungry and you say, "I will pray for you," but then you don't give them any food to eat, then somewhere in there we've probably missed the mark. I say all that because I know this is difficult. And what the community of faith is supposed to do is to wrestle with these teachings and try to figure how we can be more like God. God's already given us everything we need. God's already given us all the grace that we need. God's given us all the love that we need. God has set us free indeed. It's a question of whether or not we're willing to receive that or to understand that. See, I believe that when we can really understand that God has given me everything that I need, when God has given me everything that I need, then I can talk seriously about forgiveness. See, because forgiveness is about when someone has taken something from you, right? This is hard. I believe that the only way we can truly forgive is for God to help us. I can't do it on my own. How many people wrestle with forgiveness? How many people wrestle with being forgiven? We don't like to hear that. You know, I'm writing. I think to myself, you know what? A lot of times people don't know that they're forgiven. And I try in my mind, I think to myself, shouldn't everyone know that they're forgiven? Even people that don't go to church know about forgiveness, right? Even people that don't even follow Jesus, they know, well, something about forgiveness in there. I don't know if I believe it or not, but there's something about forgiveness in that. Hear this today. You are forgiven, children of God. God has already forgiven you. The question is whether or not you can receive it. God has never loved you any more than right now. Like 90% of the conversations I have with people inside and outside of the church always find themselves back to this place. I'm just not good enough. It's no way God could love me. It's no way God could forgive me. You don't know, Bryson. You don't know what I've had to deal with. You don't know what I've done. You don't know how bad it is. And because somehow through your life, someone else, some other people, some other circumstances has come and told you more that you can't be forgiven, right? Because people tell you that. They might not tell you that directly, but they tell you that. They tell you you're not good enough. Just go to a middle school lunchroom, right, and hear kids tell each other that, right? For that matter, go to an elementary school lunchroom and hear people tell you that. And we begin to believe that lie. That we can't be forgiven. That we're never going to be good enough. That God doesn't have anything for us. And God certainly hasn't given you what you need. And then we begin to say, that's just my lot. That's where I'm going to be. The title of this series is Jesus and Me. You know, I'd like to think it was even more clever than that, but as I was talking, I think to myself, like, the ultimate promise, you know, of God is that I will never leave you, right? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We look into the birth of Christ, the incarnation, God to dwell with us. If I've said it once, I've said it 17,000 times, right? That the kingdom is within you. It's already in you. Jesus is in you. So when I say Jesus in me, what I'm getting at with that is that you are never, ever, ever alone. Yes? You are always with God. And no matter what anyone else might say, no matter what anyone else might do, the love that God has for you is always there. Can you receive it? Is the question. Y'all know Don Henley? I know y'all old folks know Don Henley. Watch it. Wait a minute. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. even if you don't love me anymore. Who knew Don Henley was a theologian? Who knew? Everybody knows that we're supposed to forgive. Everybody knows it. Kids know it. We know it. It's radical. It's a radical idea that Jesus offers. Proposing this reality of a full forgiveness even to those who really have harmed us. But rage takes over, right? And you're right, I don't know what it's like to sit in the places that you sit. I don't know what it's like to walk a mile in your shoes. I will never know what that's like. But I do know, in this book called Exclusion and Embrace, this theologian named Miroslav Volf writes, so great, it's a good book, by the way, you should read it. You got like 17 days to do nothing but read. He writes that hidden in the dark chambers of your hearts, nourished by the systems of darkness, Hate grows and seeks to infest everything with its hellish will. Think about that for just a second. As hate grows and infects everything with its hellish will. And then we stand there holding the power over someone else while at the same time allowing them with what they did or how they hurt us to maintain power over us. See, in this matrix of power and selfishness, we begin an impossible juggling act. It is impossible for us to live that way. When I cannot forgive you, when I hold so tightly to this forgiveness and I will not give it to you, it's going to become very difficult for me to receive forgiveness, right? I don't want to, you know, lessen that down with just, well, you know, clenched fists and open hands. But you know what? That makes a lot of sense, right? If I'm holding on so tight, I cannot receive what God would give to me. And here's the thing. Put your hands like this for me. Do this. Do this. Everybody put them up like this. Here's the thing. I can hold it, and I can hold it as long as I want. And if I keep on holding it, if I keep holding it just like this, I can. And I get to a place where I cannot let go of this by myself. Can you? I need Jesus. I need Jesus to come and to help me let go of that. Am I willing to do that? And then I remember, it's not just me. We're not by ourselves. This is that moment in the time where we're talking, if you've got your blanket, that you might want to wrap around you a little bit tighter today. Because this is that moment where I remember it's not just me. It's Jesus in me. And with Jesus, all things are entirely possible. Because this is what Jesus does for us. And the daily bread that I receive from Jesus reminds me of this truth. And I know that I am not alone. I know that the light of justice and the love of God can move hate back. I know that. But I can't know that away from Jesus. And with God's power, those things can be removed. And if I don't believe that, I should leave this stage today. And then the seeds for the miracle of forgiveness are planted. Listen to this story. You remember in 2006 in West Nickel Mines in Pennsylvania, where there was the shooting in the Amish schoolhouse, and Donald Crabill, a sociologist and co-author of Amish Grace, How Forgiveness Transcended Tragedy, wrote the following. I think the most powerful demonstration of the depth of Amish forgiveness was when members of the Amish community went to the killer's burial service at the cemetery. Several families, Amish families, who had buried their own daughters just the day before were in attendance. And they hugged the widow and hugged the other members of the killer's family. You know that's not easy. If you go on and read the rest of that article, you know too that they did not do that on their own. They would say that with the Lord's help, that's how they did that. And there's so much, and that's where we are. There's so much to unpack in that, right? It's not just black and white like that, but you know what? That's what we're dealing with. You know, it seems like every week that we're speaking, E. Stanley Jones has been popping into my head, I'm reading things by that, and he says, you are most like God when you are bringing others together in reconciliation. Isn't that awesome? E. Stanley Jones, man, get up. He's dead now, but look, E. Stanley Jones has got it. This is legit. You are most like God when you are bringing others together in reconciliation. When you do that, but you have to go somewhere to do that, okay? And you can't go like this, can you? You got to go like this. That's the only way we can go. Man, is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. Is it the hardest thing that we'll ever do? Probably. Is it possible? I think yes. And in that moment of reconciliation, and we see it every week here, right around the table, that's a moment of reconciliation where God comes and wraps arms around you, wraps arms around us as a community, wraps us together, keeps us, holds us, cares for us. That happens here at the table. And it happens as a community, because when we receive our daily bread, come on now, you didn't see that coming? When we receive our daily bread, we can go out now and reconcile and forgive, yes? Man. Whew. That's good. That is good. I'm telling you, that's good. See, and it's in that moment. It's in that moment you see what the power of God can really do. It's not easy, and it's not within my own ability to do. But with Jesus in me, say yes, you can actually do it. Woo. We can actually come to a table of God, receive our daily bread, and we receive here from God the blessings of God, the reminders of God, the forgiveness of God right here, right now. You can receive forgiveness today. Who's willing to receive it? You know, I feel like this is like this. This is why I was drawn into ministry. This is why I'm here. This is the only reason I'm here. Because I believe with every fiber that is within me that I can come here to this table, receive my daily bread. I can be transformed at this table. God working in me. God reaching into my life and forgiving me. God reminding me of the love that God has for me, even when those around me tried to take that away from me, right? And I believe with every fiber within me that I can come to this table and I can receive that transforming power of God's goodness and love. And then I can go and I can give it away. That's what I believe. And that's why we do it. Stand up for me, would you? Would you stand up for me? Look, do your arms like this for me. We're going to get close together. Look, just put them out. Put them wide. Now, man, I just want y'all to turn around and start hugging each other. Can you do that for me? Hug somebody. Hug somebody. Hug somebody. Man. All right, let's not get crazy. So look, that's it. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I mean, that's why, you know, that blanket idea was brilliant. You know that, right? You know, because that just wraps around you. That wraps around you. That's what God does, wraps around you. Right? Jesus in me. When I got that blanket, when I've got Jesus with me, when I have Jesus with me, when I acknowledge that, when I acknowledge that to be the case, all things are possible, friends. And those dreams that we used to dream in forts long ago, they can become reality for us. I mean, not the crazy stuff, you know? I mean, I don't know. You might become might build a rocket ship. I don't know. But your life can change. Your life can change. Just a minute, we're going to gather at the Lord's table. Just stay standing this morning. I'm going to tell you today that this is not Fieldstone's table, but it is the Lord's table. And all who seek God are welcome to come and gather at this table. And I would invite you this morning, if you would like to come to this stage, that you might pray this morning, that we would pray with you today. If you'd like to find yourself around, be sure that you get a chance to get here, that you might, maybe you need to write out something today. I would invite you to do that this morning. I don't know what you might need to do this morning, but I invite you to do that. Maybe you need to, maybe somebody needs to hug you. Maybe you need to take a blanket from up here and you need to wrap yourself in it for just a little while. So I would invite you to do those things. But now I invite us now to go to God in a time of prayer, that we might open ourselves and our hearts to God, and we might prepare to do business with God as we prepare for communion. Let's pray together.